In a world increasingly divided by tribal thinking and ideological certainties, Sam Harris's Making Sense emerges as a rare intellectual oasis. The book, a collection of profound conversations with leading thinkers, has become essential reading for tech visionaries like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, who cite its influence on their approach to AI ethics and social media governance. What makes these dialogues so compelling is Harris's relentless pursuit of clarity on the most challenging questions of our time: the nature of consciousness, the foundations of morality, and humanity's uncertain future. These aren't merely academic exercises, they're urgent explorations with profound implications for how we live, govern ourselves, and develop technologies that may soon surpass human intelligence. Consciousness is our most familiar experience, yet our greatest mystery. With philosopher David Chalmers, Harris explores consciousness as the foundation of human experience, including panpsychism, the idea that consciousness exists at reality's fundamental level. This view avoids explaining how consciousness emerges from non-conscious matter, but raises another question: how do fundamental consciousness bits combine into our unified experience? Neuroscientist Anil Seth approaches consciousness biologically, describing perception as a controlled hallucination where the brain interprets sensory signals. Optical illusions and dreams show how easily our perceptions can be manipulated. When perceptions align between people, it's because we share similar predictive mechanisms. Reality becomes just when we all agree about our hallucinations. Perhaps most radical is the insight that our sense of self may be an elaborate construction. Seth demonstrates the malleability of self-experience through experiments like the rubber hand illusion, where synchronized sensory input can make people feel ownership of an artificial limb. We experience self-change blindness that prevents us from noticing how our self-experience fluctuates. Harris suggests the sense of self blinks in and out of existence constantly, similar to visual saccades that interrupt vision without our awareness. This insight has profound implications for well-being, as suffering often stems from identifying with thoughts and emotions as if they define us. Through meditation and contemplative practices, we can recognize the self's constructed nature and find freedom from this identification. With physicist David Deutsch, Harris explores what constitutes genuine knowledge in an era where truth seems increasingly fluid. Deutsch defines knowledge as information that says something true and useful about the world, independent of its physical form. This definition extends beyond human understanding to patterns like DNA, knowledge without a knowing subject. A tree's branches growing to maximize sunlight represents knowledge embedded in nature through evolution, without requiring consciousness. This framework has profound implications for our polarized world. At an academic conference, Harris's criticism of Taliban practices revealed the dangers of moral relativism when a bioethicist objected, claiming this was merely his Western notion of right and wrong. Even when Harris proposed a hypothetical culture removing children's eyeballs for religious reasons, she maintained there was no basis to declare this wrong. As historian Timothy Snyder notes, authoritarianism works by undermining the concept of truth itself. When alternative facts become normalized, democracy is threatened, as civic discourse requires a shared conception of reality. A challenge intensified by social media algorithms creating echo chambers that reinforce existing beliefs. Harris's conversations explore grounding ethics without supernatural authority or relativism. With Robert Sapolsky, he examines how neuroscience challenges how traditional notions of free will. Sapolsky details how unconscious factors, room odors, hormone levels, neurological changes from trauma, and ancestral practices influence behavior. Historically, we've recognized conditions like epilepsy as biological rather than moral failings. Sapolsky argues violent behavior should similarly be viewed as biological phenomena, like fixing faulty car brakes rather than punishing the car, protecting society from dangerous individuals without retributive moralization. This approach reconceives rather than abandons morality. With David Deutsch, Harris frames morality as a navigation problem within possible experiences, where we naturally move away from misery toward better states. Morality isn't arbitrary, but constrained by facts about conscious experience and well-being. Some societal organizations demonstrably cause more suffering than others. Like health being distinguishable from illness despite imperfect definitions, human flourishing remains distinguishable from needless suffering. In conversation with economist Glenn Lowry, Harris examines violence, policing, and racial disparities in America. They discuss alarming statistics. At its 1993 peak, homicide rates for young black men in Los Angeles reached 368 per 100,000, comparable to combat mortality rates for U.S. soldiers in Iraq. These numbers reflect systemic issues beyond simple narratives of racism or poverty. They analyze this violence through multiple lenses: ineffective policing in black communities, witness intimidation preventing case resolution, and cycles where impunity breeds more violence. Lowry explains how distrust of historically racist policing contributes to non-cooperation with authorities, while disputes escalate without reliable conflict resolution mechanisms. The conversation highlights how identity politics often prevents honest discussion of complex social problems by reducing issues to simplistic narratives of oppression and privilege. Harris suggests that identity politics is simply poison unless your identity at this point happens to be Homo sapiens. Progress requires acknowledging both historical injustices and present realities, seeking evidence-based solutions rather than ideological ones. With philosopher Nick Bostrom, Harris explores existential risks that could permanently destroy the future. Bostrom argues that from a utilitarian perspective, slightly reducing existential risk could outweigh eliminating world hunger or curing cancer, given the countless potential future lives at stake. The conversation examines Bostrom's vulnerable world hypothesis. Technological progress might eventually create capabilities that could destroy civilization without proper regulation, like engineered pandemics or advanced weapons. The Fermi paradox offers another perspective. Despite billions of potentially habitable planets, we see no evidence of extraterrestrial life, suggesting a great filter preventing civilizations from spreading through the galaxy. The crucial question is whether this filter lies in our past or future. As we develop increasingly powerful technologies, we face unprecedented ethical questions about AI alignment with human values and genetic engineering's potential to create new inequalities, philosophical challenges requiring wisdom, foresight, and moral clarity. Making Sense addresses how we can preserve human value while embracing technological progress. David Krakauer distinguishes between complementary technologies that enhance our abilities, like maps improving spatial reasoning, and competitive ones that diminish our capacities, like GPS navigation weakening wayfinding skills. The path forward requires technologies that augment rather than replace human capabilities, tools enhancing intelligence, compassion, and creativity instead of creating dependency. This means AI systems that increase human agency, social media that deepens connections, and economic systems that widely distribute automation's benefits. In our algorithm-dominated world, maintaining our humanity, our capacity for reason, empathy, and moral imagination may be our greatest challenge. Making Sense reminds us that our most important questions remain human, rather than technological, determining truth, learning to coexist, and establishing values to guide powerful technology development. Engaging these questions with intellectual honesty and moral clarity could lead us toward a truly desirable future.